Hello and welcome to Tools in the Shed, a podcast powered by Cars Guide, ready to rip into car stuff that has caught our eye this week. I'm James, and with me is Crafty.
Hello.
And Tom.
Yep.
We're going to talk all-time great Aussie Facebook car pages.
Oh, hilarious.
Audi's latest fresh metal, and we'll give you an insight into the psyche of a man who's under pressure and loving it in this week's Must Watch. So stay with us. But first of all, some feedback. Damien Curry, thank you very much, Damien, on YouTube said, "Yay, I'm first. Can't wait to go home and watch you tonight."
Oh, nice. Oh,
you guys make my Fridays. Great work. So he's going to be watching us. Or he was watching us on Friday night. Did you see the bushes rustling outside
your
window? Of course,
yeah. Well, when I'm not lurking in them, someone else
right,
is. Yeah,
right.
Obviously, yeah. Whatever you do in your spare time, Damo, that's your business.
To which Stephen Davis responded, "I'll listen to it in the truck next week."
Good on you.
Which was pretty good. Pretty good. Cool. Yeah. But that was it for YouTube. Crafty, Speaking of feedback, you've had a bit.
I've had a fair bit, because I've thrown a few videos on in the last couple of weeks. The Nissan
throw
Navara.
Enough mud at the wall, some of it will stick.
Something's got to stick, the Navara N-Trek Warrior, which people are having a go at me about on YouTube, saying I say Warrior, which I do,
right.
But that's old school Bundaberg.
You loved that film, Once We're Warrior.
That's right. I don't know why they were
people.
So concerned. Yeah, they're always exactly. concerned about things.
So that's the Bundaberg accent, is it? Or is it?
That's correct. Yeah, I think it might even be sort of an old school Queensland thing, but I wouldn't want to be so presumptuous.
You took your port to school, did you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Ready to leave home because your parents didn't want you back after school. So, and a couple of guys, Stuart Marler was the bloke who picked me up on my pronunciation. So thank you, Stuart.
Stuart. Well,
thanks,
Stuart.
No thanks. What
well,
is it?
Helps.
Sorry, not sorry.
It helps us.
Yeah. No, for sure. We just got a few guys sort of asking whether there will be a manual version available. And yes, there will be. So
that's
hot off the press. That's only been confirmed. A fair few blokes or people also asking about pricing, but no pricing has been confirmed for the Navara N-Trek Warrior.
But I even
you have to really try.
I'm going
to
say I even
like
thought
constricting
in your Warrior video, I just the prototype.
Yeah.
I liked the look of that thing.
Yeah, so you did know, I. So did I.
It
unfortunately, it's not going to
look like that. I liked it.
They've got a rather than that ball bar that's mm-hmm. on the prototypical model, there will be a body coloured sort of wraparound ball bar.
A little fancier.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But the thing looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the production model looked really good, handled really well. I mean, ride and handling was unreal. We went
all
for
right.
a decent drive over a day. In Victoria's big desert wilderness country.
All right.
But anyway, we'll be staying on top
so
of that.
So we've allocated some budget for elocution lessons to drag that kind of Queensland drawl out of you and get warrior to warrior.
That's correct.
But back on the Navara, just quickly, that was one of the big surprises in the recent comparison we did as well. The ride and handling were markedly improved.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise, wasn't it? A lot of people are always sort of ready to bag it, but you know it's getting better all the time.
Yeah,
so,
terrific, very good. All right,
moving on.
We will move to your good self, mm-hmm. Tom. And speaking of fresh metal, you've experienced some during the week, but it's of a slightly different type.
Yes, so it's the launch of the new Audi Q3.
Yep,
which is a really important model for them. It's aimed to plug a gap in their lineup at the moment. We did a story a little while ago that said, "Oh, you know, Audi sales have sort of come down a little bit," and the explanation for that is, "Oh, well, you know, we need a fresh small SUV to come in next to the Q2 in that right size."
And the expectation, you know, long order as it seemed, was to pick up the slack between now and the end of the year. Is this Q3 a big part of that chunk of
That's
catch
exactly
up?
Right.
Yeah,
so they're putting a lot of pressure on its little shoulders, so it needs to be quite a good thing. And for the most part, it definitely is.
Right.
So we got to go to the launch. We got to take it for a blast around some back roads, do the whole thing. It's got a massive boot. That's one of the big improvements. The boot is like truly, it's in a segment above.
So is the car itself bigger overall?
It is, yeah.
So, part of that is in a slightly bigger footprint.
Yeah, but they've made the most of it. So it's 77 millimetres longer in the wheelbase.
Right.
But they've really made the most
not
of that
76,
space.
Not 78. 77.
No,
exactly.
77.
Very specific.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I would have been disappointed if it was 76.
But it's much less it's much less kind of straight up and down than the previous car. Like, it's more fun to look at. It's more fun to be in. It's got this kind of springy, hot hatch-like suspension. It's lighter. It's better in a lot of ways.
Question without notice. Where does that car sit in the kind of sales ladder in terms of the various Audi models? It's got to be an important one for them, but it's not their top seller?
I couldn't tell you exactly.
Okay. All right.
I suspect their top seller would be something like the A4 still.
All right. We might, you know, through the wonders of technology, we might put a little note for YouTube viewers as to what the answer to that one is.
What it actually
up on the garage
is.
Wall, yeah,
yeah. 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 Yeah, yes, on the chalkboard, the job board.
Yes, the computers will definitely know. But no, it's improved all over, and it's got all these kind of really brilliant tech items that come completely standard. So they're only launching with one variant. That's the other important thing to note. And they've had supply constraints bringing them in.
Okay.
So the one variant they're bringing it in with is the base for now, which is 35 TFSI.
Yes.
So that's a 1.4-litre engine, just to confuse everyone.
Yes.
It's a 1.4-litre engine, 110 kilowatts, 250 Newton meters, so it's not overly powerful, but that is the entry level one. Comes with massive 10.1 inch multimedia screen, wireless Apple CarPlay.
Wow.
I'm not entirely sure. I need to triple check this, but I'm pretty sure it's the only car in Australia that has wireless Apple CarPlay as standard right now.
Okay.
BMW.
Any of those brands out there that want to challenge us on that?
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah, that's right.
Worst.
But it's this really impressive. I mean, it's this really impressive kind of cabin, so it's come leaps and bounds on that front, and the standard inclusions are above most of its competitors. So that's
fantastic.
That's really good to see.
Okay, terrific. Will, whereabouts in Australia were you for this launch?
Oh, Byron Bay. It was
Byron Bay.
It was quite stunning.
Right, so you weren't taking a little side trip for crystals or some get your chakras aligned.
Well, I mean,
Did you see your mate Chris Hemsworth while you're up there?
Go for
a surf.
It was a bit of a cultural experience driving through there. I got to tell you, we went through even Nimbin, which was
in brand new Audis.
Yeah, in brand new Audis.
Wow,
dangerous.
That would be like that's the equivalent of driving Luke Skywalker's land speeder.
Yeah.
You know, through Nimbin.
Yeah.
They'd be more into the sandals and the shoe leather.
That's right. That's right. You probably drove through a couple of puffs of smoke as well.
Yeah,
they wouldn't be from anyone's
not
exhaust.
We actually had to turn on recirculated air when we went through there for the fear of hitting an IBT on the way out.
Fair enough. Yeah.
All right, fantastic. So we'll be looking forward to the written review, and you shot some video as well.
There'll be a video on YouTube.
Fabulous.
So you'll be able to watch that and.
How much for how much?
So it comes in slightly above entry-level competitors at $46,400. That's MSRP. So it's slightly more expensive than the entry-level BMW, slightly more expensive than the entry-level Lexus.
So you're talking about a GLC Merc?
GLA.
GLA. Of course you are.
Well, it will be the GLB when the GLB launches, but that's not here yet.
Right. Just don't challenge my alphabet knowledge like that ever again.
Yeah.
Don't put me on the spot.
Well, no, it's because they have the Q2 below. So the Q2 is more that kind of hatch.
Now, numbers.
Lifted so
hatch.
Many
I know.
Variants.
It's this
so
whole thing
models.
To unpack. Yeah. The Germans like numbers and letters, so it's all very straight up and down.
But we did have Sean Cleary in here trying to explain the
numbers and letters.
I didn't see.
Kind of tangled web.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he did. Well, I understood it at the time, but I've completely lost it again since.
Yeah. And the other thing to note is, so it'll launch with just that variant, but there is, so in I want to say two.
There are only four of them.
There are only four of them. Yeah. I want to say two. There's a 2-litre Quattro coming.
So in the third half of the year.
Now you're messing with me.
Talk about Jedi mind trick.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a 2-litre Quattro coming with more power. And all-wheel drive. And then there's also a RS coming, which will have the TT's five-cylinder turbo.
Wow.
So that will be cracking.
It'll be live little...
It will.
drive, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and then they've also got a kind of sport back body style, which looks like kind of a shrunken down Lamborghini Urus. I love the look of it. Wow. It looks amazing. And if you're on YouTube, we'll put some pics up.
Go have super. Have a squeeze.
This really kind of broad spectrum of them coming, but for now it's just the entry level.
All right, well, we won't give the game away. You'll give your verdict on how this thing shapes up.
Yep.
So people should visit the website and have a look at YouTube and see how it went.
That's it.
Terrific. Now, for local people, Australian people, some of these Facebook sites that we're going to chat about now may be familiar, even to people overseas. But if you are elsewhere, outside of our borders, just for your edification, we've got a few favourites around the office, and we thought we'd talk through the top half dozen or so. One that's probably more for Sydney people, although people outside of Sydney and New South Wales may well be aware of it.
Yep.
It's a group called Help, I've Binned My Car in the Nasho. All right.
Love it.
So the Nasho is shorthand for the Royal National Park, which is south of Sydney. And
just
it's an enormous tract of land that's kept aside for the koalas and the kangaroos and the kookaburras and all of that stuff. And it's a beautiful place.
It is. Yeah.
The thing about it is there's a rather twisty, dipping and diving road that cuts through the national park that tends to get people's dander up when they're in the car. And some of them just overstep the mark and they may be above the speed limit by a kilometre an hour or two.
Or so. Yeah.
So this group is dedicated to recording the accidents, the trip ups that happen from time to time. They also have the imprimatur of Sir Jackie Stewart at the beginning, who's photographed saying, quote, Royal Nasho is the greatest racetrack in the world, Sir Jackie Stewart, 2017. So he's on board, which is fantastic.
There's one picture
that we've got for YouTube viewers that you'll see behind us. It's saying, if you're happy and you know it, flip your Honda. And there's a Honda upside down on the road. There's also a small blue car, which is very hard to decipher what it is, well off the road, that's been photographed in the bush, as we say in Australia. And the commenter says, can someone call David Attenborough to identify this mysterious creature? It looks like a Festiva, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah. I think the Toyota 86 is overtly represented on that page.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, there are quite a few upside down ones.
It is hilarious. For people who are on Facebook, make sure to have a look at that. Help, I've been my car in the Nasho.
And just as a footnote to that, I lived on the fringe of the Nasho for 5 years. And unfortunately, I was privy to many nighttime races because as well as going through the park, which is a great drive, it leads you naturally down south across Seacliff Bridge, which is also
a big
nighttime racing scene.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I heard and saw quite bingles and that sort of stuff.
The awkward period of silence.
That's right.
Then the lock breaks.
Yep.
Then the bending metal.
Yeah. And then sort of the high-pitched, oh, what did I do?
Help, I've been my car outside the Nasho.
I've got to post this.
But it would have been a fun place to try and fall asleep at night, you know, with the sort of sound of R32 Skyline.
Mighty Car Mods and hat tip to Mighty Car Mods have a sticker that you can buy for your car's rear windscreen. That is in the model, in the style of a Nürburgring sticker, but it says Royal Nasho. And
love it.
It's fantastic. $8. What a bargain.
Bargain.
So
Christmas idea.
If you feel like getting involved, that's available. Now, another one that we've spotted that caught our attention, low-income solo mum cars. So mum's taxis driven by low-income earning solo mothers taking care of business week to week, no matter what. These are their stories.
I'm guessing a lot of Holden Barinas.
It's a beautiful mix of
they
cars.
They are represented, yes.
The Batuta Advocate, a wonderful publication here in Australia, had a report headline. Mum should have never gotten rid of the silver 96 Commodore. It was good. just to balance the scales, we've got low-income single dad cars.
Yeah, that's correct.
Cars driven by low-income earning single fathers who live for the weekend visits from their two kids. These are their stories. So there's one where there's this, it's a VT, I think, Commodore.
Yeah.
Sitting there, mismatched wheels. There's a Commodore banner across the top of the windscreen, you know, Bathurst 1000 style. And the comment attributed to that low-income single dad is, can't your mum just drop you at the pub?
That was the page that was too real for a friend of mine. He had to unsubscribe.
Some of them are quite close to home.
Too relatable. AU Falcons doing incredible things. What a great page.
This is another page, yeah.
This page is dedicated to Australia's most versatile vehicle, the AU Falcon. Mm. Yeah. And it is fantastic. We've got a clip of a person in an AU Falcon who, despite the presence, unbeknownst to them, of a police car just the other side of the car there next to at the traffic lights, does a massive stoppy burnout and puts smoke around himself and the car next to him to be then followed by in short order. That kind of thing. It's absolutely fantastic. Another one, Camry corner dents.
Oh, yeah.
So
the Camry global car says, hang around for munted Camry bumpers and slammed in Yoda asses that not even your uncle's mate can pocket.
With the rubber hammer.
So,
I mean, are these touch parking incidents?
They are using the audible parking before, you know, car sensors were ever a thing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to say, plodding around Sydney, more than every second Camry has one of these dents.
Well, we did also theorise that there should be a page, if there isn't one already, and let us know if there is, for tissue boxes on the rear parcel shelf.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably with some fancy padded, special trim.
Oh, yeah, the ornamental.
So there's also a shot that we loved, which was captioned Ultimate Camry Power Move, which was an upturned Camry slammed into a median strip. So forget the bumper dents. It's upside down and slammed.
That's just gone above and beyond the call.
There's another one called Stuffed Magnas. Now, that's not a cooking. That's not a cooking page. No. Almost everywhere I go, I see a number of Magnas stuffed in some way.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many you can find. And one of the ones we liked was captioned, anyone know this sexy beast? And it is a lurid, toxic shock green Magna, complete with the race style wheels and a black bonnet. It's a truly amazing combination. And another one that's captioned, when you want an American muscle car but can't afford it, the next best thing, and it's a Magna painted like Burt Reynolds' Bandit, you know, his 6.6 litre Trans Am, complete with chook on the bonnet and the number plate Ban 1.
Oh, jeez.
So that's pretty good.
Good stuff.
And the last one that we'll call out is Commodores with no fuel flap.
Oh, jeez.
So, quote, this page is dedicated to the lack of fuel flaps on Commodores as well as the replacement of mismatching flaps.
Yeah,
So you've got the wrong color one, color one. And the one that really caught our eye was a VE Commodore well and truly on fire, like flames. It is being eaten up by fire with a mismatched fuel flap. There's a standout image.
I like how it sort of covered the spectrum there. You know, you've got the Falcon, you've got the Magna, you've got
Commodores,
the Commodore.
Camrys.
Kind of
everything.
Like this.
It's fantastic.
Nice little microcosm of the Australian car landscape.
It's Aussie car culture, so beautifully expressed. Yeah. And if our listeners and viewers have any more, and I'm sure they're out there, just send them our way because we can share them as well. We'd love to hear what you frequent in terms of Aussie car Facebook pages.
Yeah. It's like seeing a ute with a sort of either a fake bull skull or a real one.
Oh, fabulous.
Or a ute with a Bundy Rum sticker.
Bundy Rum stickers.
Or the R.M. Williams
one. Or a Deniliquin ute muster
Denny
sticker.
Denny ute muster. Which is it's on soon, I think. I don't know.
I think it might have already been...
Last weekend.
Trying to break a world record for the most number of utes, once again, in one place at one time.
Oh, good luck to them.
Anyway, talking about utes in one place at one time, there weren't any in our garage this week, but... Well, other cars were, and crafty.
Hang on a minute, I had a Hilux.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, he had a Hilux.
Okay, egg on my face. Sorry about that. We had that. Other than that, we probably had several others.
We have a Hilux sedan.
That's right.
Limited edition.
So we'll get to that. But first of all, crafty. You have been driving a hybrid,
and it's
of the Toyota variety, and it recently picked up a gong that you had a hand in awarding.
No, not an adventure, no. That did win our car of the year, RAV4. Yeah.
Oh, beg your pardon,
yes,
that's right. So
pardon,
I do beg
yes.
your pardon. It was our overall winner, that's right.
That's correct. I had the pleasure of driving the RAV4 Cruiser all-wheel drive hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very experienced in the way of electric things, electric vehicles or hybrids.
Toasters or...
do you know, Crafty, just to clear it up, because I think I've forgotten.
Oh, please clear it up.
I think I've forgotten where they sit. Is the Edge or the Cruiser higher?
No, the Edge is the top spec.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. Right.
And but the Cruiser you can get in.
You're totally lower.
And it'll be available in Q2. Now I'm making that up.
Yeah.
It's actually on sale now.
Yep.
And in a nutshell, it was quite a lot of fun to drive. It's
not much space inside the nutshell though.
No, that's all. Not once I'm in there.
Yeah. So, that's right.
So it's got a petrol engine, 2.5 litre four cylinder petrol engine. It's got an electric motor up the front, an electric motor down the rear, and a harmonic orchestra in the boot.
Oh, right.
No, it's got a couple of. So it's got the petrol engine and it's got the two electric motors.
Wow. Okay.
It's an all-wheel drive, but it's sort of on demand. Like really, when you put your foot down, it will go all-wheel drive. Otherwise, it is a front wheels driving.
Yep.
But it's unreal. So quiet. Hopped in the thing. Didn't know whether it had started. I was going to call Maddie Campbell in here and go, "What am I doing wrong?"
Because failure to proceed.
Failure to proceed.
Yeah.
Unreal acceleration around town for overtaking. You know, that sort of thing. Staying safe at intersections where people are sort of dilly-dallying around.
And is that because it accelerates with pure electric power?
I think it taps into everything. As soon as you mash the pedal,
it's like a combo.
It can run in series.
You can actually, it's got two screens, the 8-inch in the middle for infotainment, but you can also display what's pairing the wheels at any one time. And it's got a 7-inch driver display right in front of you where you can switch between views, and one of those is real-time battery usage.
Yep.
And also traction, which we used in an all-wheel drive situation. Unreal. We did. There has been some concern by some people that I know about battery depletion and whether when you tap into the all-wheel drive sort of quite relentlessly, it will deplete the battery and then it will revert to two-wheel drive and you'll be stuck.
I see.
In terrain that is all-wheel drive terrain, but you can't go anywhere because you're in it.
Right.
That didn't happen to us. We drove it quite hard, but I think it's an all-wheel drive, so it's quite low. It's got quite a long wheelbase, so the approach and departure angles aren't fantastic, but that's fine because it's an all-wheel drive. So, I mean, you'd have to keep in mind what sort of terrain you should take it on.
All right.
It's more for well-maintained gravel tracks in a national park and that sort of thing. I mean, don't bite off more than you can chew.
I see.
We sort of pushed it to its limits on a couple of
sections. So is the concern or that perceived concern about running out of juice because the rear electric motor is the one that drives the rear wheels?
As I understand it, but like I say, it seemed to me like we depleted it quite quickly on steep hills or in scenarios where we had very little traction and you had a lot of wheel spin and the traction control was trying to work out, you know, it was trying to send drive from slipping wheels to gripping wheels.
Yeah.
We had a scenario where it was depleting the battery, but then it would deplete. In return, it would regenerate quite swiftly anyway. I'd be reluctant to take it on a beach. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, you might see an ad. I don't know whether the ads for this have RAV4s on a beach because a beach, you know, it's a whole different situation.
It's very demanding powertrain.
Absolutely.
Wise, you tried to take it on Bondi, which is not on anywhere.
It was only to get the Bondi rescue guys to actually rescue me. Yeah. So I just wanted the green whistle. That's all I wanted.
You spent last week in the Slammer and now you're here.
And now I'm out.
I've got a blue bottle sting.
I'd avoid taking it on sand for any length of time because, as Tom said, it's very taxing on a vehicle at the best of times. I mean, even with a four-wheel drive, but, you know, with an all-wheel drive that's lower and it's only on road tyres and that sort of thing. So I just drive it for what it's intended and it's perfectly fine for that and it is unreal on the road. Nice and quiet, nice and smooth, very refined, and just fun to drive all around.
Great, terrific. Yeah. Okay, superb. All right, and Tom, we'll move to another Toyota.
Yeah.
And it is that truck that was, you know, in the garage all the time.
That's right.
An actual ute.
That's not going to Deniliquin for the muster.
Well, you never know.
He might get up to on the weekend.
He did say he went camping. So
tell us about it.
Yeah, so I had the Hilux SR5, and it's the 2020 update, which means it gets that kind of new, can I say ugly nose? I don't like it. So...
Jeez.
Well,
controversial.
It was controversial, but I was driving it around and I thought, I was looking at this thing thinking, oh,
and people were just pointing and staring at it. Like, what an ugly truck.
Shouting out, yeah. Hey, ugly. Yeah.
Because you sort of look at it and it's sort of anonymous enough at the front that you forget. You're like, oh, what did the last one look like?
Okay.
And then as I was driving along and, you know, I got to have a good, you know, look at it over the weekend and I saw others and I thought, oh, actually, I prefer the look of the last one.
Okay.
But anyway, that aside, the 2021 gets all the new safety stuff. Yes. So that means it's got AEB now, which is a necessity for ANCAP. Mm. It's got lane keep assist, lane departure warning,
right?
Active cruise control, which is a big one when you're doing a big trip. And I took it for maybe 300-kilometer trip out to a place called Turon Gates, which is between Mudgee and Lithgow. If you're familiar with New South Wales,
sounds like something that's either at the bottom of the ocean or out there in space.
It
somewhere.
It does,
the
doesn't
Turon
it?
Gates.
Yeah. It sounds like something Roy Batty saw before.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. All those moments. Yeah.
So many
lost in time,
lost like tears
in rain.
Yeah, that's right.
But I suppose all of this is driven by that intense competition with Ranger, because
that's
Ranger's
right.
been such an icebreaker in terms of safety and what have you in utes, and it's the top-selling cars in the market.
Yeah.
So free marketeers would love it. You know, his competition driving such a good outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does, like, the upgrades are so welcome, especially that active cruise is fantastic. And, you know, we had it on that comparison test not that long ago. Of course, it scored well, not necessarily for its road handling over something like the Ranger, but it was very capable off-road.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I found, because there was a rather large section of unsealed track to our campground to that Turon Gates, as part of the reason I took it there, It almost feels better on the off-road stuff than it does
on
the road.
Yeah, interesting.
So, you know, there's sort of, you notice less of that kind of ladder chassis jiggle and that sort of stuff that typifies
the
ride.
So the back of the SR5 is suspended by coils? Coil springs.
No, it's still leaves. Yeah,
leaves,
still leaves.
It? Okay.
Right. Still leaves at the back, so no coil. Not like the Navara or the X-Class.
No,
what else
yeah,
has
all
them?
Coils.
Yeah, coils.
Okay.
But you did load it up with 300 kilograms of booze as well.
No, we put nothing in the tray, but we did sleep in the tray because we got to the campground and we were only there for one night and we had this foam...
No expense bed.
No expense
on
bed.
On your time away, Tom.
your no, lady friend must love you. Yes.
Yeah,
oh, awesome.
I've got this place lined up. You won't believe.
It's going to be awesome.
So convenient.
I've got this really nice tent that takes 2 hours to set up.
Yeah. It's like glamping, but just not.
It's very high up off the ground. There won't be any dampness.
It's like a rooftop tent, but it's really just the tray
of a use.
It was mostly lovely.
Okay, good.
There was some protest, but it was mostly lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
By the other campers all around you, I presume.
Yeah. But no, it was good as well, because we were able to sort of back it straight up to the fire and use it as our chair as well, just sitting on the back of the tray.
Because you forgot your camp
set it
chairs,
on fire.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Gee, so versatile.
Budget camping with Tom.
Yeah. Now,
don't bring anything.
We better move on. That's terrific, Tom. Thank you very much. I will just chime in very briefly with the fact that I've driven relatively briefly. The Jaguar XE. Now, it's the R-Dynamic HSE. So it's up near the top of their XE range. $72,000 before you pay your on-road costs. It's a 2-litre petrol turbo, the Ingenium engine. It's kind of in the high-powered hot hatch outputs range, 220-odd kilowatts, 400 newton metres. That's almost exactly what the new A35 Merc AMG will put out once it arrives here. 8-speed auto, big 19-inch rims. Looks the goods because of the R-Dynamic thing. Lots of safety and standard spec. For me, I think it's partially because we've been fortunate enough to have a couple of very high-performance Jaguars through the garage recently, V8 Monsters. I was looking at the R-Dynamic badge going, oh, it's not quite as dynamic as I thought it was going to be. It's rapid, but it lacked that kind of ferocious acceleration that we'd been spoiled by these other cars. So I think it was a contextual thing. But a very nice car to commute in, and as I say, super well equipped. And look, $72,000, that's a lot of money, but in terms of what it actually delivers on the equipment front and the performance front, it's not a bad number.
And actually, can you kind of option it whichever way you can imagine, like you can with some Jag products?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are Well, this one is the result of that, in that you've made your choices on the pack that you want, the engine that you want, and all that kind of stuff. Yes. But speaking of choices, some of them good, some of them bad.
Some
this person makes them all. It's time for Musquash.
Musquash.
Righto. Now, first up, it feels like Elon's having a hard time getting over the fact that the pod-style mini sub that he developed and shot over to Thailand didn't save the day when those 12 boys and their soccer coach were rescued from a flooding cave in Thailand in July last year.
He really went on Twitter overload for this thing.
Absolutely.
It was just blatantly too big, wasn't it?
It wasn't going to work. Yeah. So if you give Elon the benefit of the doubt, it was incredibly well-intentioned. We can help save lives here and ferry these kids out one at a time in this pod type sub and whatever. Anyhow, Vernon Unsworth, who is the head of the dive team that was trying to extract these kids in very difficult circumstances, told a TV reporter that he thought it wouldn't work. His opinion was it was a publicity stunt and Elon should stick it where the sun don't shine. And he actually used slightly more pointed language to make that last point.
Okay.
So on Twitter, the D leader responded by calling Unsworth pedo guy. And he copped a hiding for it. There was a major blowback on that. So rather than, apologise, he hired a guy called James Howard Higgins, a private investigator who is actually a convicted felon and fraudster, to go after Unsworth.
Oh, really?
So failing to vet the investigator, Musk's office, it now emerges, offered to pay him $52,000 US and dangled a $10,000 bonus for verified evidence showing that the diver was a pedophile.
Oh, my
right?
God.
Well, this feels like to me that he's realized that he's defamed this guy, and he goes, well, it isn't defamation if it's true.
He's doubled down.
He's doubled down. He's really it's like doubled that, down. If the best form of defense is attack. Yeah. So he later told...
With a convicted felon.
On the back of this information that he's got, he later told a BuzzFeed journalist in an email that Unsworth was a child rapist and had a 12-year-old child bride.
Oh, geez.
Okay?
Yeah.
So he challenged Unsworth then to sue him for libel, which Unsworth duly did.
Yeah.
And in August, Musk was grilled by Unsworth's lawyers. Mm. So a 413-page transcript of that exchange is now public.
Wow.
Because documents have been filed prior to a jury trial in California kicking off on December the 3rd. Mark that one on your calendar. That's when it'll all start to happen.
Some of the key points that have come out
of this transcript is Musk said that pedo is a generic slang term used in South Africa when he was growing up in the 80s.
No,
it didn't imply someone was a pedophile. It was a generic term. Yeah. Didn't imply someone was a pedophile. And that could be true according to Business Insider in South Africa. They reckon in Pretoria in the 80s it might have been a thing. But I know, Crafty, you spent a lot of time in South Africa.
I did.
To me, you're now a grown-up.
Yeah.
You know that something you said as a kid may not be appropriate.
No, exactly.
So just
lots
say,
of things
just
we
slang.
Said as kids.
Absolutely. Some of the things I said as kids might be behind bars.
And did spend some time.
And it transpires that after that James Howard Higgins debacle, he doubled down, he tripled down. He's tripled down.
Is that even possible?
With Cooley LLP, which is a legal firm.
The law firm,
yeah, that does definitely sound like a rapper.
Sounds like a rapper. The law firm who represented Elizabeth Holmes in the Theranos civil case, and if anyone's aware of that, it is another fantastic Silicon Valley rabbit hole that you should go down.
Dive deep.
Massive, amazing story to investigate Unsworth further. So, turns out Unsworth met his current long-term partner in London when she was 32. So the whole 12-year-old bride thing is a little bit off the mark.
It's ridiculous.
He's also since been awarded an MBE, by the way. Musk directed his employees to compel Thai government officials to make complimentary public statements about him and the technology his engineers were developing to aid in the cave rescue. So the BBC had reported on a regional Thai official who said that Musk's, quote, equipment is technologically sophisticated, but it doesn't fit with our mission to go in the cave, and it's not practical. Musk wasn't satisfied with that response. So he said, quote, "We need to go all out and make this guy retract his comment," Musk said, according to the filing. Unsworth's attorneys described how Musk's employees used the Thai consul in Los Angeles as an intermediary to pressure the Thai officials, including the Prime Minister, to issue a statement reversing that statement.
This is the most American story I think I've ever heard.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah. I mean, does it remind you of anyone else in America using aggression as a form of defence and trying to blur the lines of what's real and what's not?
Rather than just straight out apologising and really
it is.
Sorry.
You could make a movie about this, you know. American free market entrepreneur employs ex-felon to get dirt on
it's
British
good.
Guy
you
living.
You couldn't script it. You'd be too corny as a script.
I reckon there will be a movie of this or at least a TV doco.
Now, at the same time, space.com, Samantha Rolfe, writing for space.com, says that Elon's Starship, SpaceX Starship, could actually wreck the cosmos. So it could threaten alien life if it's out there.
Oh.
So Musk's plans have potentially dire consequences for alien life, astronauts, and the environment.
Wow.
Starship is designed, as you'll recall, to carry up to 100 crew members on interplanetary journeys throughout the solar system, starting with Mars in 2024. So, there are many reasons to believe SpaceX will actually succeed, says Samantha. The company's been extremely impressive in its contribution to space, filling a gap when government agencies such as NASA could not justify the spending. It's not the rocket technology that she doubts. My concern is mainly astrobiological. Okay. However, there's risk that the microbe-ridden humans walking on the red planet could contaminate it with bugs from Earth. So, basically, my theory, again, comes to the fore. We are the first cancer cells in the cosmos.
Yeah.
Yep. We've just populated this one. We're about to kill it. Then we'll move out to the next one and do that one.
Filthy humans.
You got to say, though, as much as there's all this sort of bad stuff circulating about, you know, Musk and whatever, as, you know, that whole American entrepreneurial thing goes, at least he's done some sort of public service for science. And
We have a dig. SpaceX is amazing.
Yeah.
Tesla is amazing in its own way in terms of the way it's disrupted the market.
Yeah.
Boring company, I'm not so sure. But, you know, there's so much you have to take your hat off to Elon for his bravado, his risk-taking behaviour. Yeah. But then some other things are a little more questionable.
I don't think Tom was in here in the garage that time We actually said we tipped our hat to Musk. We said we take we have a go at him, but it's all in good nature because we acknowledge his
In the interview we had with him on the 100 episode, we were asking him. He agreed that he does have a healthy ego, and so that much.
Well,
is
I
on
wasn't
the
here for that one, but I was with Musk, and I had to hold his drink while he was on the phone here. So
So the share price,
like strawberry daiquiris.
There's been such massive fluctuation. $1. Right, so $244 was $243 last week and the 2 weeks prior to that. So we've had this ridiculous stability in the share price. The
ridiculous stability. Can we open that one up?
But Market Insider has raised an interesting point. NIO, the Tesla of China.
Yep.
I actually thought Tesla was the Tesla of China.
Yeah, yeah.
Strong deliveries for the third quarter. And others like The Motley Fool, who's an investor advocate online, is speculating whether NIO is a better buy than Tesla.
Mm.
Both are suffering, but one's kind of got a slightly better outlook is the view.
Mm.
So that'll be interesting to watch.
NIO recently, so I did read about this not that long ago, and it was that when China started to pull subsidies away from their electric car market, that's when NIO started suffering because they're really heavily overinvested in those sorts of things. And they've got all kinds of wild stuff going on, like battery swap stations.
And we had that convo about China wanting to be the master of its own destiny in terms of not wanting to have to import batteries or oil or whatever and going to hydrogen. But that's a whole other conversation. Yeah. But anyway, these people are thinking that NIO might be a better bet than Tesla. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. And I think with that, we have reached the finish line.
Oh, really?
Come on. Crafty.
No, thank you.
And thank you, Tom. No, thank you, Crafty.
No, really.
Thanks, as always, to our production guru, Mr. Pritchard, for making us look like we kind of know what we're doing.
Yeah.
He's actually rocking the chainmail police uniform today, which inspired by Prince, I think, which is an arresting look.
Oh, I was impressed too because he's usually quite hirsute.
Yeah.
Where's the hair suit?
Manscaping.
He's been manscaping.
He has.
You shouldn't be able to see that he's been manscaping.
Well, I think he's put the symbol, he's put the Prince symbol in a key place, which sets it off beautifully.
And he also spun around before to adjust some knobs in the background. He's wearing the sarong, but it sort of hiked up a little bit. And I think the phrase shaved ape was invented for
Please pass
for
on the word about the podcast and let us know your thoughts by searching for Cars Guide on Facebook and Instagram using the hashtag CGPodcast or email us at comments@carsguide.com.au. If you're an iTunes listener, please rate and review us. And remember, you can watch us on YouTube. Till next week, a mate of mine witnessed an amazing episode in an outback truck stop this week. A diminutive truckie was in the cafe quietly consuming his morning fry-up when four intimidating bikies walked in. They made a beeline for the truckie and began, slapping him around. They rub the fried egg in his face, they stick a sausage in his ear and pour the baked beans on his head. Without a word, guy gets up, pays for his breakfast and leaves. Leader of the gang says to my mate, "Not much of a man, didn't even stand up for himself." To which my mate replies, "Not much of a driver either, just drove over four beautiful motorcycles."
Nice one.